Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. We got some big conference news coming out of the Big 12 with Colorado rejoining. So we're going to hit that first. But beforehand, do you have anything for high tempo, Matt?
Not off the top, because we got a pretty packed show.
All right, so the big news, Colorado waits until the Pac-12 has their breakdown of the new TV contract. It started to leak out today. I don't know. By the time you're listening to this tomorrow, the landscape could have changed totally. But there were rumors about 2 weeks ago that the initial numbers were coming in and they weren't good. I mean, basically, some additional background, the way these contracts work is they run from like the fiscal year. Most companies' fiscal years are now. They end at the end of June and they start in July. So it's been a month. They should have had something ready to go. It should never have taken this long. There's some rumors that the commissioner for the Pac-12 said they weren't signing anything until they got a number bigger than what the Big 12 was getting, which seems to be a mistake, because the Big 12, they gladly took what seemed to be the middle number, which is like, what, 40 to 50 million per team a year. And that was when they had a smaller number of teams. The one tidbit that came out with this Colorado move is that in the contract, there supposedly had a clause that if they add a small number of teams up to like 16 total to match the Big Ten and the SEC, that the per team payout is going to be the same. And I saw some backtracking on that from ESPN reporters saying that no, they only have approval for one more team. So I want to see how this shakes out, right? Because there are two main players here. Fox owns part of the Big 12, and so does ESPN. They're the league that bridges the television deal for these networks, right? Fox has the Big 10. That's their premier conference. There's not going to be a major, the way the Big 10 is set up right now, there's not going to be a major game every week, right? Same with the SEC. That's ESPN's conference. There's not going to be a major game every week. So the Big 12 backfills that. Fox also had the Pac-12 after they got USC into the Big 10. They really don't care about the Pac-12. Fox has always been an LA based. We're going to be like hitting the LA area hard. And now that that's with the Big 10, I mean, that's why the Big 10 is scheduled to make the most money. I keep seeing, and I'll let you get in here in a second, but the last thing I had off the top, so I didn't forget to get to it, is I keep seeing the old projection. I think you had it up today too, of where they think in like 2025 that the SEC is going to be able to just switch and jump the Big Ten in revenue. That's counting on extra playoff like seedings or whatever and the 12 team playoff, and it's also counting on ESPN matching that television contract. We don't know what their numbers are. They've never come out and said what they're going to do for Oklahoma and Texas, so we don't know if they're going to get that bump. We're assuming that they're going to make somewhere close to what the Big Ten is. I don't think they're certainly going to make more. And those projections certainly didn't have USC there, which I think kind of locks the Big Ten neck and neck with the SEC in terms of potential teams to get in the playoffs. And we all know the Big Ten had the best bowl contracts anyway, which is why they've been making more money. And just to show, I think I had the numbers up from last year. That projection had, what did they have here? They had the Big Ten and the SEC for 2022 is when that projection started. They had the Big Ten slightly ahead at $57 million and the SEC at $54 million. That's not how it shook out. The actual numbers that came out for last year, the Big Ten made $58.8 million per team. The SEC was almost $10 million behind with only 49.9 per team. The Big 12 is in the middle at like between 43, I guess like the middle point. The ACC is right below that at like, what, 40, if I'm keeping the same thing. And then the Pac-12's at 37. The Big 12 thing is important because they're adding UCF. And if UCF can come in and make between 40, what I say, 43, 44 million, and they're making more money than Florida State, that's the key piece that's going to move next or at least do something. I don't see how they can let UCF, and I'm not saying that UCF's going to be better. The Big 12 has no premier team. You could say TCU's made the playoffs. That might be their top team right now. Maybe BYU has won a national championship. I tried to get a list of teams that have won like national championships in the conference. I think, did I send it to you? I'll see if I can find it like a couple weeks ago. But,
you did at one point send it, because a lot of the teams that you refer to as like a blue blood school, like the teams that have historically either been in the national championship discussion or the top 25s, they're now pretty much split between the SEC and Big Ten.
And that's a key point here. The Pac-12 is down to three: Cal, Stanford, and Washington. Oregon's never won a national championship. I would say maybe you can add them in. No one really considers Cal or Stanford a top blue blood. Same with Washington. But those are like key premier programs that if the Pac-12 decides that they're going to stick around and you have, and you're able to keep those programs, you have some relevancy. The Big 12 nabbed BYU. So they have TCU, BYU, Colorado now, Oklahoma State. And if you count the recent one and the NCAA does, you have UCF. So UCF's coming off their undefeated season. The TCU, BYU, Colorado, Oklahoma State, their titles came way in the past. Colorado's is like in the 90s. BYU, I think it was like right in 90. BYU was like 84, I think. So UCF has the most recent, and they're ready to go. So if you're going to say, well, this conference, I've seen people say like, well, now that they've expanded, if they go to 16 teams, they're not going to have any representation in the college football playoff. They 100% are, because the other conferences don't have, at least in their mix, the teams. Like, they don't have the big names, even if it's like not as big as what people expect. If you're going to guess between those two right now, in terms of powerhouse programs, BYU and the Big 12 with BYU and like Colorado, BYU might be more of a national thing. But like in the Pac-12, Oregon is probably better right now, right? They could be gone tomorrow too. We don't know. There's some rumors that they're looking to get out. The ACC in terms of programs would be third, with Pitt, Miami, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Florida State, Boston College, and Syracuse. But their TV deal is so bad that they're sitting ducks. Because like in any, there are rumors that seven schools are looking to leave the ACC, and there are some that aren't even on here, like UNC and NC State in that mix. Florida State and Clemson could leave tomorrow, and then I think that takes away most of the recent championships. Then you're looking back to like Miami as the next pick, goes back to the 80s, even further than that. That conference would pretty much be in that second tier. Now, if something weird happens where, let's say, if the Big 12 pulls out some major mojo and they're able to like pull in and make a bigger conference by grabbing like an Oregon, a Washington, or hell, even getting a miracle and getting like a Florida State somehow in that mix, then you could say possibly you could have three top conferences, because I don't think that the SEC is going to be able to grab anyone on the West Coast like that, which is where I think the stopping point is. But I want to get your thoughts from Florida State's perspective before I lay out some scenarios here. What do you think? They have a board meeting tomorrow, so by the time you're listening to this, all hell could have broke loose. We don't know. They're meeting with their donors tomorrow, which is weird because it's like they have until August 15th before the, like, there's like some ACC deadline that Florida State and Clemson have to decide by August 15th if this is going to happen in the near future. So what are your thoughts on it going forward?
Well, I think going forward, just to start with, when you're looking at how much money the SEC and the Big Ten are bringing to the table, if you're Florida State, you have to jump. Like, it's, and you have to jump right now to make sure that you get on board, because you've talked about it at length during previous shows about how the SEC is going to negotiate, and then the Big Ten is going to negotiate after that, and then they're going to go back and forth with these negotiations of which conference is getting paid the most. And with having the Big Ten network and SEC being tied to ESPN, you know, they're going to be able to really invest the money into these programs. You know, they're bringing some of these other schools in and boxing out the other conferences. So you have these two super conferences right now. If you're Florida State and you don't get in, basically you paint yourself into a corner where if you have any games that you lose for any reason, you'll never smell the playoffs, and you'll never have that opportunity to earn that extra money. Whereas we see it every year in the Big Ten and in the SEC, where, like, if you lose a conference game, you know, Michigan, if they lose to Ohio State, or Ohio State wins all their games and loses to Michigan, they're not necessarily out of the discussion. But, you know, if Florida State goes to the ACC championship game and loses, they're immediately out of the discussion. Like, they'll fall so far out that they couldn't even be considered for. So, like, from the extra money that you earn from being a playoff team, having that type of run, it's to their advantage to take it. And when you look at how much more these other conferences are providing to the schools, even if you take the $30 million buyout a year, you're still going to come out ahead $30 million or so. So, and that's just getting your foot in the door. Not to mention, you know, Florida State's in a position where they're trying to get that academic research credentials and qualify for that brings additional money to the university that ties into the academics and helps the college grow and to be more enticing to people. So, I mean, all around, it's a smart move to get in right now, because what you don't want to be is you don't want to be the last school waiting to find somebody. Because by the time everything's picked over and everything's realigned, you could find yourself without a home, and then you're trying to scramble to play an independent schedule. And when you don't have the backing that Notre Dame has gotten away with, you can't get away with being an independent. You have to be aligned, unless you generate so much independent revenue that you can just live off of your school alone.
And so that's where we have basically three scenarios going forward that I see that could play out. And I mean, the teams could kind of change from what I'm throwing out here. The Pac-12 announced, well, at least they haven't announced it publicly, but the numbers leaked out that their deal was like much lower than even what people thought, where the guaranteed like cable deal is only worth like 20 something million a year. And so Apple TV is supposed to be offering them like subscription pricing or whatever, where, hey, we're going to pay you X million based on how many subscribers you get. So, like, let's say if they're charging $10 for this and they get like 10 million subscribers, that's what, like 100 million? Apple takes half of that or something, and then you split the rest up between your schools, which is supposed to make up some of that TV deal. But what if you don't get the subscribers per year? What if people are canceling every whatever, you know? So, like, if they're only getting it just for a football game or two and then canceling, Apple would have those numbers And I think it was one of the athletic directors from the Pac-12 said, like, we can't make a budget based on like your projections because they could change in any month. Like, you're not giving us where the other conferences right now have the luxury of being, hey, we're making this much XYZ. We know what we're getting. We might make more, but like you're not really going to make less. Like, you might make an extra bowl game, or two teams might make the playoffs, and then you're going to get extra cut that you didn't expect, and everyone's celebrating. But like, it's not like 1 month you're like pulling your hair out because you're like, why are people cutting the subscriptions right now? You know, that's why like the NFL Network, it's like you pay, and it's like for the entire year, even though they want you to pay during football season because they know you're going to cancel it. It can't be a monthly thing. People won't pay. Why would you pay in like June? What are you watching? It's like the reality TV section of like the NFL Network. Like, you're not watching historical games. You want the real games. So the Pac-12, there are rumors that like Oregon and Washington had offered the Big Ten a lower cut of like $50 million. Hey, we'll take $50 million a year. Now, would they take 40? Would they take 30 for 10 years? You know, like how cheap can the Big Ten get them? Because the number one scenario I have is that the Big Ten just goes balls to the walls and tries to take over everything. Because they could do that with the rumor that came out adding Washington and Oregon right now, along with Florida State and Clemson. That would get them to 20 teams, right? Then you could put together a package or a pitch and say, like, look, what if we just add California and Stanford? And then we tell Notre Dame, we have two more spots. Like, we want to get the 24. You in? We'll take Miami. We'll take someone else, UNC. Like, we don't care. Maybe they go to 32 eventually. I think in this scenario, if this happens, I think the Big Ten just starts plucking teams from everywhere, including the SEC. Right? ESPN's been making cuts for the first time. Fox Sports had more subscribers than ESPN. First time ever. The Big Ten Network is now carried. I think the numbers came out. I don't know if these are set in stone, but the Big Ten's now in like 73 million households, with the SEC falling to like 30. And the SEC Network comes with ESPN, which just means as ESPN continues to fall, the SEC Network continues to fall. And the only new state that the SEC added was Oklahoma. They already had the Texas carriage because of Texas A&M. The Big Ten just added California. They now have the three largest markets that get their network. New York, because of Rutgers, for whatever reason people think. People laugh at that, but like, that's a real thing. That's, they probably asked, because there were a lot of things about rumors about UConn back in the day. They probably asked, like, hey, would you give us like coverage up in the New York area? And they're like, no, we don't care about UConn. It's like, well, what if we add like Rutgers in Maryland? And they're like, yeah, that works. And for whatever reason, it worked, and it's paying off now. Because I hear a lot of talk about national championships. It takes a while for this money to catch up. Like, I just saw some new things of like Maryland's facilities are finally getting caught up. And whenever they start making more money and Rutgers starts investing more money, how the hell is a school like Miami, outside of like donors, when their donors having trouble with his money, how are they going to keep up when these other schools are just getting, like you said, Matt, $20, $30 million more per year that they're just investing? Like, it might take a decade or two, but eventually, if the Big Ten continues their lead over the SEC of an extra $10, $20 million, at what point does a school like Florida, if Florida State doesn't jump now, at what point does a school like Florida look and say, like, what the hell are we doing in the SEC? We're not winning championships. Bama and Georgia are. We could at least be getting paid more. Right? So I think now, that's the play.
The only other option, and I think there's no financial backing to doing this, would be to take like the ACC, the Pac-12, and I'm trying to even think of how to even make this into a plausible scenario. that
you mean the ACC merges? Because that's my next scenario.
Because that's kind of a direction that if the Big Ten chooses not to try to include Florida State in the deal, like how do you make that work? And it's like I think do you just take all of these other conferences and just combine to be one, and then at least at that point, if you're winning the ACC hodgepodge conference, that can maybe be enough to get one team in, because you have so many other schools represented that if you're blowing it out to 24 to 36 teams, you're going to get into, I guess by default, to try to have some regional matchups. You'll have your core group, and then you'll be able to, outside of within the conference, maybe six games, be able to flex out so that if there are independent schools or like people outside of the conference that you want to try to schedule, you can fill out the schedule and it doesn't hang the entire NCAA out to dry. Because I mean, if the SEC boxes out, the Big Ten boxes out, you know, how are you going to get the rest of your game scheduled? Because for as many teams as there are, you can lock in just a conference schedule and nobody's going to get a crack at those guys until the playoffs, if you're lucky enough to qualify.
Well, let's take a step back, because this is actually my scenario number two. So overall, like D1, there's like 125 schools, I think, which if you do the math right now, six conferences get auto bids into the playoff in this expanded version. Right now, there are 10 conferences. I think part of the pressure that's being added by the Big 12 right now is going to do what you're saying. Some of these conferences are just going to merge. I think an ideal scenario for the NCAA would be there to be just six conferences, which at that point, if you just do the math, that's around like 20 teams per conference. What if there's seven conferences and two of the weaker ones play a play-in game, you know, just like the basketball tournament, so that you have like the same six auto bids, but you also have two conferences that knock each other out, right? Like the MAC and Sun Belt, whatever ones survive, I don't know. But in this scenario, and I think it's kind of likely, because like the other thing would be, and there are a couple different moving parts to this too, because like this could work where both conferences go to 20, the Big Ten and the SEC, and then the other conferences backfill. And I think this is more realistic, instead of the Big Ten just taking everybody. I think you have maybe the SEC and ESPN say, well, we got to stop the Big Ten. We got to take Clemson and Florida State right now. We own the grant of rights. Right now it hurts them because they're losing money. They're cutting people left and right. If they cut Florida State and Clemson out of the ACC, the ACC network, does it get carried anymore down there? Like if Miami jumps because they see Florida State and them leaving and Miami jumps to the Big Ten with Notre Dame or something, the ESPN would be killing themselves and their ACC network, which they're making a ton of money off because it's a great deal. They don't want to kill the ACC. Because like I said, then they're back to negotiating with the Big 12, right? Is that third conference. There are some rumors that maybe the ACC is reaching out to Cal and Stanford and they're talking about maybe making a merger. In this scenario, the Big 10 can't grab everyone. They're not the only nationwide conference. The SEC can stay regionalized, which I think hurts them in the long run for other sports. Maybe it doesn't for football, though. And maybe that's all they need. Like they can stay and get the 20. If they're taking like Florida State and they're taking Clemson and they're taking, maybe they take Miami. I don't know, but like they just get to 20. The Big 10 fills out with Oregon and Washington and whatever teams they want to get the around 20. And then the ACC and Pac-12 merge. And then the Big 12 picks maybe some leftovers. Maybe they do get Arizona. Arizona had a board meeting. There's rumors that they might hop to the Big 12. So I think in that scenario, you would have four major conferences that fill out to around 20 teams. Yeah, they might be difference in sizes, or like the one team might, or one conference might have 24, one might have 18, the one might make more money. But in reality, does that really matter for some sports? Like, smaller conferences win basketball national championships all the time. Like, the Big 12 was talking with UConn when I said the Big 10 ended up not taking UConn. ACC didn't even want UConn. Big 12 might take them. And they're trying to do like a nationwide conference, the same thing as the Big 10, because I think they feel that obviously it's working because they're making more money. They could be in four time zones or whatever. I think they might be. The Big 10's going to be in four time zones, I think. So you're having a conference that can play all day with the Big 10. And if NBC and CBS need to fill out their inventory, they can't go to the SEC. If the Big 10 doesn't expand and provide them that, then they're going to strike a deal with the Big 12. And so Fox would have the Big 10 and the Big 12, and the ESPN would have the SEC and the ACC / Pac-12, whatever's left of it. And which teams shake out? I don't know. Is ESPN going to take a hit to keep the Big 10 away from the Southeast by taking Clemson and Florida State? We'll find out. I don't think they will. I think they're going to play chicken with the Big Ten. And the only other scenario after that is that, and this is the craziest one, but what if Clemson and Florida State just join the Big 12 with some of the Pac-12 schools? And we have three conferences.
I think it's funny that you say that, because I was just thinking, when you look at the Big Ten right now, like, the majority of the teams, they're not vying for a conference championship. You're running like a 2.5 to 3-legged race, because it usually boils down to who's winning the Michigan-Ohio State game. Penn State is kind of mentioned in it, and Wisconsin are like the primary people that are in contention for that. And when you look at the SEC, it's been Alabama, it's been Georgia, with a sprinkle of Auburn here and there during the Malzahn era.
And LSU, and like Florida. But see, when the SEC teams win it, they show up in the playoffs, where the Big Ten, like Michigan State, can win it, and they can choke it away.
But right. The point I was getting at is that you have... it's very top heavy. Like, your good is so much better that when I think about the Big 12 and their initial expansion, you know, they went with, like, I think in their mind it was, we're going to bank on Oklahoma and Texas. And then they pulled in West Virginia thinking they were just coming off of that like Rich Rod-esque run where they were starting to pull more from the spread, that this is going to fit right in. We're going to have this football super conference. And what ended up happening is they just beat the crap out of each other. And so they ended up knocking themselves out of contention, because Team A would beat Team B, and then Team B would lose to Team C. And it created this spiral where everybody was okay, but nobody was carrying the mail for the conference. Where like in the SEC, the last couple of years, you could say it's Georgia that goes in and is beating people. But I mean, typically it's been Alabama, that they're not just a little bit better, they're a lot better and just mauling everybody. I think there's something to that.
And that's where I think the Big 12 has an opening. And to your point, they've been beating each other up. That's because Oklahoma and Texas have been, I mean, Oklahoma's been carrying the conference. Texas has been choking so bad that it comes back to recruiting. The Big 12 all has like decent schools, but if you look at their recruiting, yeah, they can win a playoff game. TCU beat Michigan last year, and then they got absolutely stomped by Georgia because they're not recruiting anywhere near. Like, what Clemson recruited and like what Michigan recruited are kind of similar, where they're close enough to the top that if they put all the pieces together, yeah, Michigan can blow out Ohio State 2 years in a row. Yeah, Clemson can beat Bama, right? The Big 12 is not recruiting that close. They're the next level down. And same with like even Wisconsin, like you mentioned them winning the Big 10. Like, that was a product of divisions. I would be shocked. And I know Luke Fickell's coming in. Some people are picking them to win the West again. But I would be shocked when they go divisionless if Wisconsin ever sniffs a division, like maybe a conference championship game once every decade. Just because they haven't picked up recruiting. For whatever reason, they haven't invested in it, it seems like. They're content just taking the big boys from up north. And they're not trying to go and reach that next level. And it's clear that Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State are recruiting so much higher than everybody else, with Ohio State even being higher. USC can come in there and do that. That's why I think the Big Ten, they see the SEC has like maybe six teams that could win it. If they win the conference, they can win a title. Right now, there's only four teams in the Big Ten that if they win the conference, they can win the title. And that's with counting USC, just based on recruiting. If they add Notre Dame, that's another one. If they would add Florida State and Clemson, then you're getting close to where the upper tiers from the Big Ten and the SEC kind of match. That's the only scenario where I see that Clemson makes sense, to be honest. It's just because they've had recent success. It's one more state in the South that you can recruit close to Georgia. Your only other option is going to be taking Georgia Tech. And I think that's where the SEC is stuck now. Because they're letting the Big Ten take the big teams from around the country, where can they expand? Like, they're out of options. Unless they can poach from the Big Ten, but no one from the Big Ten is going to take a pay cut to join the SEC. Like, the Big Ten's on top right now. It's a gamble, kind of like Big Texas and Oklahoma. They're taking a gamble thinking that their power is going to up the Big Ten or the SEC television contract to match the Big Ten. But until I see ESPN confirm that, and especially like whenever they're talking, like they're telling their reporters to say to the Big 12 to only take one more team because they just can't afford it, it's making me kind of scratch my head, because do they really just want the cheap contract? Like, are they just going to pay the cheap end of the Pac-12? Or do they really think those teams are leaving? Like, I wonder what that bid, because obviously the $20 million bid was when Colorado was still in the league. It's not like they came up with a new bid within 2 days or whatever, right? Like, oh yeah, let's scratch that. So like, that bid was the bid. Now, whether they can keep it together by adding like San Diego State or someone to backfill, I don't know. But the ACC is kind of in the same boat. Like, I feel bad for NC State right now, because I see a lot of, or I hear a lot of people telling me like, oh, it's going to work out. Like, NC State's going to be picked up by like the SEC or whatever. What if they don't? What if ESPN's like, no, we can't afford any more teams. We're like, you're stuck. And then the Big Ten picks, because Fox is like, hey, we don't care. NBC is kind of like, I mentioned it before. If you look at NBC's schedule, they kind of have to be annoyed, right? Where it's like, oh, look at the games I'm getting, like Purdue and Indiana. Like, we really don't want that game, or whatever game is on there. Like, could you imagine if they were like, well, we have no premier teams to give you, because Fox is getting first pick, and then CBS might get a pick, or NBC, they're kind of like rotating. But if they're coming back and telling the Big Ten, like, you know what? You should just add Oregon and Florida State and Clemson. Like, we would take that and we would be happy. And heck, next time, maybe we'll give you even more money if it works out. Like, the Peacock streaming, to me, is better than Apple TV, because I don't think Android phone users can get Apple TV. That was one of the things where when the Big Ten was talking about it, I was kind of like on board for it just to be the extra sports, right? Because I know the Apple TV like works on Roku, I think that app does. But like, I'm not going to lie, like Peacock or even Hulu, like where the ACC network is, like it's a much better distribution compared to Apple TV. And so having all of your extra games on there instead of ESPN2 or whatever, that just is going to be a killer, I think. I would rather have them on the CW like the ACC did. I mean, I don't care. People laugh like, I'm not going to watch the CW versus the football games. Yeah, you will. You 100% will. If If Penn State ends up playing Pitt on the CW, you're watching. What are you talking about? You're going to tell me you're not going to tune into that? Like, that's a channel for teens. Like, no, what the hell are you talking about? All the channels are owned by like the same thing, like, right? So,
and don't you look at me with a straight face and say you didn't watch Nickelodeon for the slime show during the NFL playoffs. You'll watch it. It doesn't matter. If you didn't, they wouldn't be advertising for the Slime Time game. So there's somebody watching it.
I forgot all about that. I'm surprised you had that ready to go. From your perspective, because like from the NC State side of things, I see people are like, we don't want to go to the Big Ten, like no matter what. And I'm thinking like that could be your only survival option. Like, are you willing to risk it to stay in an ACC that could become so watered down that like this could be the time? If NBC and CBS and them pull together and they say, screw it, we're going to pick 24 teams and we want like a 24 team, or heck, even more like a 32 team conference. I personally still don't think that the teams are going to break away and form their own division. That depends on the NCAA though. If the NCAA keeps messing with NIL, then yeah, it's most likely going to happen. But like I said before, at that point, why are you extending an olive branch to do it with the SEC?
My only true reservation with Florida State leaving is that I feel like with where the program is right now, and we have a veteran team coming back, and Norvell has really been recruiting well in these last couple cycles, that is it going to take away, like, is it going to make conferences want to pull away from them? Because why would you want to bring stiffer competition in than when you can bring a lesser quality school? Like we joke about Vanderbilt, but like that Vanderbilt-esque team that we're adding something that then it's not going to take away from our traditional powers. You know, I think that could potentially come back to bite Florida State, because why would you want to bring in a school that is potentially going to shake things up and cause waves within what you feel like is a solid conference? Like, to me, I look at it almost like the way the old Big East was for basketball, where they had these power schools and they put such an emphasis there that then it just started to fizzle itself out.
Well, that's where I think that the expanded playoff is so key here that, like, it's not going to matter. I think the Big Ten sees that we need to get teams deeper in the playoffs or we're not going to get the payouts. It's going to be like the NCAA tournament where you have to win to get, like, the next level payouts, right? Yeah, we can get one bid in every time, but if we're losing in the opening round or whatever, the second round, we're not getting the payouts. And yeah, having three teams or whatever at the top for a while worked out. But what happens when like Ohio State had like Trestle Gate or whatever, Michigan had issues with Rich Rod, they sucked, and Penn State had sanctions around the same time. No one stepped up until Ohio State got Urban Meyer. And that's been the Big Ten's only success. There've been, until Harbaugh came back and James Franklin like elevated Penn State back up, a decade ago, the Big Ten was expanding to get more TV money. But like on the field, those teams weren't anywhere near competing for a national title. And that's why I think bringing in USC was huge, because yeah, they haven't been competing either. And I think they've come in and they've said like, we don't care. We don't want any more West Coast teams, because we want to be the one we can tell recruits, hey, we know like you're looking at Ohio State, Michigan, they recruit California well. Now, like that's going to be something that we have to deal with, but now we don't have to worry about Oregon coming in and stealing recruits with their Nike money.
I almost wonder with Oregon, like I know Phil Knight's covering a lot of just trying to buy Oregon's way in. Is that enough to make them be a hot item team?
Well, that's where I think the difference is right now is the Big Ten has three television networks that like the NFL model, right? So having just extra content that they know they can sell Oregon probably nationwide is probably worth it. Because like NBC can, they see the viewers that Oregon's bringing in. I've seen some people naysay me on this where they sent me numbers and said like, look, no one in the Pac-12 has averaged or like has gotten more than 5 million viewers in a game. Like, yeah, that could be true or whatever. But like if Oregon's playing USC or whatever at a high enough clip, because now they're in this Big Ten where you're playing the top teams every couple of years, where in the Pac-12, who else was your top team? Like, yeah, I named some teams that had historical success, but like no one was tuning in to watch them. Ohio State and Michigan had so many viewers last year. That was like one of the top games. They're always having so many viewers that they can elevate anybody pretty much. Where if you're bringing in, say, a Florida State and Clemson that's getting like maybe 8 million or 7 million people, can they bump to 10 if they're playing Ohio State or Michigan? Like, that's what Alabama and Texas were bragging about last year. They got 10 million. Like, awesome. Michigan hits that with Ohio State like every year. Like, cool, guys. And they even have, like, ESPN promoted that so hard that that was like early season records. Like, cool. But now, if they're able to bring in top teams into the Big Ten, how do you know that USC, Michigan, or hell, if Notre Dame joins and you have Notre Dame, USC early, or like Notre Dame, Michigan coming back again? Like, awesome. You're going to have those all the time. Maybe it's on NBC. Maybe it's on CBS. Maybe it's on Fox. But at least you're giving them two or three games to pick. Because instead of the third game being Indiana or Purdue, maybe you're getting a Wisconsin-Florida State game or an Iowa-Clemson that might be intriguing enough that it's getting 5 million viewers, right? Or Oregon-Iowa, or like some teams that usually has good TV viewings that's more of like an ESPN2 team, Wisconsin, Iowa, even Nebraska at this point. Nebraska-Oregon, NBC can sell that. And with the uneven divisions or whatever, and having those lesser teams, like you said, now the Big Ten's having teams with like three or four teams that have 10 wins that are sitting there in the at-large meeting for playoffs, and they're getting picked. Because you have the six, as the other conferences shrink, they're only going to be getting one or two bids per conference, whoever that conference champ is. And as the Big Ten hopefully keeps winning, their only problem right now is, if they line them up against the SEC with Oklahoma coming in, they don't have enough top teams at the top that can fight through. And I think that's going to be what they're willing to look past to hopefully bring in like an Oregon or a Clemson that recently have been able to compete on a national level, because they need to have six or seven teams that could win it all. And right now, even with USC, unless Nebraska makes a comeback, they only have four teams, I think. So how else can they get there? Yeah, you're investing money, but like I said, that takes maybe 10 years. And if the playoff happens where the SEC is winning the playoff every single year, no matter how much more money you make than them, the recruits aren't going to come to your schools. So they need to make some jumps now where they make the Big Ten seem like, hey, we're like an NFL conference. You want to play in the NFL? We're the only conference that, you know, is nationwide. And you're flying on professional flights. Everyone in the media is talking about how it's a negative for student athletes. This is pretty much the training for the NFL. You can tell them like, hey, you're going to have to do this in the NFL, you know. Like, you're not just sitting on your buddies in the bus driving to like from Mississippi to like Auburn or something. Like, no, buddy, you're flying from LA to New York or whatever, LA to Chicago to play a game. That's the NFL life. The Big Ten right now is the only conference that can say that. If the Big 12, they're trying to say the same thing. That's why I think they're the wild card in this, and I think it's funny. Because I would have wrote the Big 12 off last year. I was feeling bad for West Virginia. Supposedly, the ACC has reached out to West Virginia. And I feel like, for the first time in years, if the ACC would have had some foresight and added West Virginia instead of like Louisville and tried to get some more rivalries to put on the TV network with like Pitt and West Virginia, you know? But instead they were like, no, we don't really want rivalries. We want good basketball teams. That, to me, that's what killed the ACC. They went with the weird divisions. They killed all the rivalries because of that.
Well, I think they tried to keep somewhat of that Big East-esque conference intact so that you still had somewhat rivalries and carry over from the conferences. But, I mean, for the longest time, the Coastal side was just a train wreck.
That's why, because it's not a Coastal. Like, that's not a Big East side. They really screwed over because, honestly, let's be honest here. The Coastal was set up to give North Carolina a chance to win. They added Miami in, but realistically, the Coastal had to have been set up by like North Carolina and Virginia, two of like the blue hairs in this conference. You have North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. You can't tell me that they didn't handpick those four teams for that division, and they added in Georgia Tech because they needed that for recruiting, and Miami because they needed Florida recruiting, right? And they put Pitt in there, because why not? Pitt's like on an island in that division for no reason. Like Pitt and Virginia Tech, maybe. Pitt and Miami, maybe. But like Pitt and Syracuse separated. Pitt and like Boston College separated. Boston College, Miami, two private schools, you know, that have been playing, separated. Syracuse separated from Miami. So like the other division is like, why not just keep the ACC on one side and the Big East on the other if you're going to do that? But they like kind of zippered it to where they thought, well, Miami is going to have a chance to play Florida State every year. But they put all the other football schools, Clemson, Florida State, NC State, Louisville, in the Atlantic, where it's kept NC State down. Like if NC State was in the Coastal, do they elevate themselves up to where they're at least a Wisconsin? Because they have the attendance. No one in the Coastal has any attendance other than Virginia Tech. Am I wrong?
I'm trying to rack my brain, but
North Carolina, empty. Duke, empty. Pitt, empty. Virginia Tech, empty. Miami, a joke of emptiness, right? Virginia, empty. Virginia Tech's the only one that sells out. And maybe that's what they're kind of going with, is like, well, we'll give Virginia what they want and bring a Virginia Tech in to replace Maryland because they were really upset that Maryland left. But like realistically, if you're going to put all the other North Carolina schools in there, like why not just keep Wake Forest and like NC State and put them in there and have it be like a Carolina type division with the Big East schools then? And get rid of Miami, put them in the South with Georgia Tech. Bring back over like NC State and like, I don't even know how they would do it, but they could have made it a lot better. It's unbalanced for one. And it's not like the Big Tens where, yeah, it's unbalanced, but it's split up by geography now. What are we supposed to do? People are like, yeah, you really can't do anything. Oh, we'll just add USC in here. That'll balance it out. Okay. Okay. And Nebraska. Awesome. I mean, they tried with Nebraska. And that's the only thing that gives me hope of like the Big Ten making football based moves, because like, yeah, they made the moves for Rutgers and Maryland, but you brought it up. They're making the East Division a little bit less brutal by bumping Wisconsin to the West with that move, right? Wisconsin was in like Michigan's division when they were down, and like Wisconsin was the biggest benefactor of those old divisions and everything else. Like they were just so lucky to me that I don't think Luke Fickell has work cut out for him. Maybe he wins the Big Ten this year. I would just laugh.
No, he's going to win because Barry Alvarez will tell him the secret. The Hogs.
That's why I'm always thinking Barry Alvarez is still around. The NFL stuff I was going to talk about, there were some injuries with the Broncos. Patrick went down with an injury, and then Hamler had a heart issue, I think, which he's a Penn State guy, so we're talking about the Big Ten. That's always scary to hear about. So you have that going on in the NFL. Sean Payton calls out Hackett for a poor coaching job he did with Russell Wilson. So now I want to see how does he respond? Like, Russell Wilson better have a great season. If he comes out and looks awful again, they can't just, what, they can fire Sean Payton?
They have the perfect alibi, though. Well, look at all the receivers that got hurt.
I know. It's like a perfect mixing board for Broncos to have a disappointing season. Right when we're getting back into fantasy, we have, the Hall of Fame game this week? I think it's Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday on NBC, Jets and Browns. Awesome matchup, guys.
You can watch Aaron Rodgers.
I know, because Aaron Rodgers is there. But like, that's like the Big Ten pick of NBC's games. They're like, damn it, you gave us Jets and Browns? And they're like, damn it, you gave us Indiana Purdue? What's wrong with you?
Bring on Rutgers, baby.
You gave us Rutgers. Could you imagine the Rutgers? Because, Matt, there's a scenario right now where you're watching Florida State play Pitt on ESPN Plus while Rutgers is playing Maryland on NBC at national TV at like 3:30 for everyone to watch. Does that make you mad?
It makes me a lot mad.
That's also where the SEC is like, the Big Ten has three major networks that are going to be showing their games, where the SEC used to be on CBS. I think that's going to take a big hit that people aren't expecting.
But what will piss me off even more is take that same game and then you try to find it on the ESPN app and you got to go to like the Raycom app.
Oh, that would be blacked out for you, Matt, because that's in Pitt. So sorry, you have to go to the game.
You'd have to like pay extra to go. I would absolutely lose my shit.
You know that's going to happen. They could be on the CW.
I don't care. Just put it on a channel that I can watch it. That's all. I ask for very little. Like,
hey, the CW is free. Like I said, I wouldn't have cared if the Big Ten had to deal with CW for their third game instead of NBC. I really wouldn't care. Since you brought it back up, I did hear from a Notre Dame fan. It was kind of like a conspiracy, but I forgot to bring it up, where they said that the original plan from NBC was to have Notre Dame play and then have the Big 12 reach a contract deal with them when they had like Oklahoma and Texas. And when ESPN took Oklahoma and Texas, Notre Dame was trying to keep that deal alive. I don't know if this is true, but they were talking to the NBC guys about like, well, what if the Big 12 like backfills and adds additional football schools? Like they were secretly behind like them getting UCF and Cincinnati and them in, you know, because they've been having recent success. Because they're telling NBC, like, you can pay us like close to what the Big Ten makes, because now you're going to have a good game to put on. Like, yeah, we may play Marshall and almost lose. You can put that on Peacock so people don't see it. Or did they lose to Marshall? They lost one of those games, didn't they?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we, you know, don't show that one. But at the same time, you could show like West Virginia play Cincinnati. That'd be pretty cool, right? And the Big Ten swooped in and they took that away by adding USC and then telling NBC like, hey, we have another primetime team. Like, we should really get on primetime. You should add us instead. And Notre Dame fans think that the Big Ten did that to force Notre Dame to join this conference, because they took their big rival and now they have a path where the Big Ten can just tell NBC, like, look, do you really want to pay Notre Dame? Like, look who they're playing. Marshall, Wake Forest. Like, people don't want to watch that. Like, come watch us. And they think, so Notre Dame thinks that the Big Ten is going to take like Florida State and Miami, which would be my two preferred picks. I'm not high on Clemson, because I would rather have, just like the LA deal, I would rather grab the other two big schools in Florida. And if you're going to box the SEC back, take them. SEC is not taking Georgia Tech. I would be shocked if the SEC took Clemson for the reason I mentioned above. They don't bring the viewers. That's only taken away from the ACC network. Clemson, even being mentioned, to me is like a miracle, right? Like, honestly, I would take Florida State, Miami, I would take Stanford and Oregon. I don't even know if I'd take Washington. And I take Stanford because I think that that makes Notre Dame join. And when Notre Dame joins, the SEC would never make more than the Big Ten. So by taking Miami, taking Stanford, taking Florida State, you're ending Notre Dame's pipeline in the ACC. Because, like, what are they going to add? South Florida? Right?
No, you know what I want? I want Florida State in, and then I want Pitt to join the Big Ten, just so Penn State can, they can drop that unrivaled bullshit, and then we can say, you have a rival. It's in your state. Play the game every year like you were supposed to. Like, no. Everyone, every other rivalry week.
Pitt is going to join the Big 12 with West Virginia. The Backyard Brawl will be back. You'll watch it on Fox Sports 1. You'll be a big Fox Sports guy. You'll have a Fox Sports shirt on because Florida State and the Big 10 are on there. The Big 12 with Pitt and West Virginia. And you're like, oh, this is really nice over here. You'll be like, the SEC who? You'll only hear about them when we play them in the playoffs because they'll be on like ESPN and no one will have ESPN in this future. ABC. They'll be like, oh, yeah, that's the other network. I forgot there was a game on. And then slowly over time, I think you just see those schools jump to the Big Ten because the money's there. You're like, oh, Florida's coming? But if they don't take Florida State now, that if I'm in Florida State, that would be my concern. If you join the SEC now and Florida and some of the SEC schools jump to the Big Ten with Notre Dame to make more money, you're probably not getting picked.
Yeah.
Because like the Big Ten's not, if they're making the most money, that like that's my scary thing for like NC State. If you jump to the Big 12 now, which I've heard some people say that they should do to try to get off the ACC sinking ship, are you going to be there if the Big 10 and the SEC call? Because like there's no one available in the state of North Carolina. If ESPN talks UNC and Duke into joining the SEC, I could see a realistic scenario that NC State gets a call from the Big 10. And they're like, you're our North Carolina school. Until we get, like, if the SEC is going to fight back, they really have no other ways to do it unless they expand into other states. They offer, like, Virginia and Virginia Tech. And they offer both schools, right, to keep the Big Ten out. But I don't think ESPN has the money to offer half the ACC to keep the Big Ten away. I just don't think they do. Because, like, with the NFL, like I said, everyone, every team gets contracted a TV spot. Yeah, that's going to happen in like the Big Ten. But eventually, some of those national like TV spots for like Indiana games, they're just going to be on Peacock, or like the old ESPN2 games might be on Fox Sports 1. I'm hoping eventually that just goes away and Peacock just becomes like the Big Ten app or whatever. Or they just have a Big Ten app that only has the games and highlights. And if your team's not one of the big national TV teams, oh, well, like you can at least watch all their games. Like you used to be able to watch every Iowa game on ESPN2. If you're an Iowa fan, are you afraid you're going to not be able to watch your team? Hell no. They're probably still going to be picked up a good bit on NBC right now or whatever. Same with Wisconsin. And then the ones that not, you're still going to have the Big Ten Network, so it's not going to be a big deal. The other conferences, though, should worry. Because if you're not on TV, recruits aren't really going to notice. They're not going to want to play on Apple TV. I don't think so, anyway. I don't want to go super long. You have anything we want to talk about for the NFL? And then we'll circle back to college. I'm going to take another look just to see if anything else happened.
I really didn't see a whole lot from the NFL side, just the ongoing battle about running backs and how they're being valued. But I mean, I think that's just, that's going to play itself out with the Indy running back situation. And I don't think it's getting any better because their other back just got hurt. So now you're in a position where if you thought, well, my running back can sit out because we have this other guy here. Well, now you don't, and now you need him. So, Does Ursa end up paying or does he stand firm and ride it out? I mean, I'm thinking he's going to have to negotiate a little bit and meet him in the middle.
Well, that's where Ezekiel Elliott's been going around. He met with the Patriots, which I had Stevenson, which I forgot that he was even a keeper option for me in fantasy. And with Zeke going up there, like, I don't want any scenario where there's another running back. I know Stevenson ended up getting hurt at the end of the year, which almost cost me in the playoffs. But, like, if you're going to be a fantasy guy, the Colts, like, that could be a good situation for Zeke or someone. I don't know. There are some guys that are just floating around out there that could be stop gaps, not for, like, something long-term, right? But I don't know. I feel like it's a weird year because the running backs are so undervalued in terms of other contracts and stuff. But can you just plug and play a guy? Because, like, the Chiefs have been plugging and playing running backs like it's no big deal, right?
Yeah.
I think the common person doesn't even have any idea who the Chiefs running back is. So, like, even who even is their top one? Do they consider it Pacheco?
I was just saying, like, I don't even know who the hell they consider their number one guy, because I think it just depends on the matchups and how they're being utilized week to week.
Let's see what their depth chart says. Yeah, is it Pacheco? Is that even how you say his name? Pacheco?
Close enough.
I should know whenever Big Ten running backs out of Rutgers, you know, Big Ten guy comes out and he's playing for the Super Bowl champs, I should know how do you pronounce his name, right? But they got Edwards Hilaire, remember him? Like, he got really hot from LSU. And then he's like third on the depth chart now. It's like, oh, awesome. They have a McKinnon. He's like a smaller guy from Georgia Southern that is old, like a vet. He must be like their out of the backfield guy, which you kind of need. But I feel like you can just plug and play like random dudes like that. And as long as you have a veteran and stuff, that your team will be okay in the running back. And maybe it hurts contracts. I honestly think that the only reason some of these other guys have big names is because of fantasy football. If there was no fantasy football, I think running back contracts would be even lower. Do you agree?
I don't know.
They only last 3 or 4 years. Like, why are you paying out the ass for him?
Well, I just saw where, and I wish I could remember where I had heard it from, but the point on running backs was that, like, with Pittsburgh drafting Najee Harris, you draft him, you sign him to your rookie contract, you get 5 years, and then just let him go, let him move on. And, I mean, it's backed up because right now you have Zeke Elliott that's sitting out there, and you have Dalvin Cook that's in free agency. And they're both, like, Dalvin Cook just made the Pro Bowl not that long ago, and the Vikings let him go.
And that's where, I mean, I think that's just going to be the way it kind of goes these days, right?
Because, like, you, to me, looking at some of the better teams over the last couple decades, and you go back to, like, Marshall Faulk. He was one of those guys that was a fantasy juggernaut, but it was because of what he did in the pass protection that set things up, that, like, doesn't show up in fantasy, that helped the Rams win. And I think, like, that's one of those undervalued things that, yeah, you want to find that diamond in the rough, that Willie Parker in a late round, but how many of those guys do you bring in every year, and how many pan out? I mean, there's only a handful, you know, that get brought in that actually stick with the team.
I mean, that's what I've been saying as a fan for, like, the long term. How do you stay loyal to guys? Like, I see people, like, buying jerseys, and, like, I mean, we have friends that come up and we're like, hey, you want to buy a jersey? It's like, no. Like, putting together jersey orders, it's like, the guy's going to be on different teams next year. Like, unless they win the Super Bowl with your team, or they're in the Hall of Fame, or, like, in college, like, if they win the Heisman, you know, with the transfer portal, unless your guy's winning the Heisman or a national championship in college, don't buy that jersey. I mean, I guess if you want to support NIL type stuff, but like as a common man, you're not helping the NIL really. So like same with the NFL to me, it's always like, who's going to be the Chipper Jones of your team that you can rally behind? Because like Ben Roethlisberger for a while is kind of like, should he go to a different team? He's played pretty shitty. Right? But I feel like, to your point, we're going to see guys just get cut a lot more. Doesn't it feel like that's happening more often? Maybe I just haven't paid that much attention in the past, right?
I don't know. I find myself at a loss because I think you follow that Parcells mindset that the teams that when you need it, you want to have a good running back to close out games. And I don't know. I have a hard time saying you don't need a running back or that you can just take any running back and plug them into your system, because I think if you're using those guys like you should, you can use them as an extension of your passing game. You can use them in the rundowns. Like there's a lot that a good running back can bring to the table for you. And I don't think it's as easy to just say, well, we'll just take any person and we'll fit the bill, because when you truly have, and I mean, hell, go Google Barry Sanders highlights. Like he single-handedly carried the Lions on his back his entire career, and everyone knew he was getting the ball and was making guys miss. So like, I think when you have a guy like that can be the difference to get you over the top.
And that's a guy that I think going forward, that's the type of running back that they need. A shifty guy that can catch the ball like a Le'Veon Bell is very similar to like a Barry Sanders type guy, where Barry Sanders just played in a different era. So he wasn't really catching balls out of the backfield, you know, running more of a spread style, but maybe that's the future we go. We'll get back into some NFL stuff. I know we're going long, but I have one more tidbit to tell you. I don't know if you saw this, but I was doing some searching to make sure no other teams jumped while we did the show. Florida State Board of Trustees Chair Peter Collins did an interview basically saying that they're going to leave the ACC. He hinted that the target would be the Big Ten because of the benefits of their academic alliance. This is someone else's article that I'm reading. So it comes down to how do they make that work? And if he does go to the Big Ten, then that's awesome for our show, right?
Well, makes it easier.
Well, it'd be easier to recruit people to listen because we can just be like, yeah, it's a Big Ten podcast. We'll have like so many people downloading it and they'll say, this guy, he's talking sense in here.
Bring on Rutgers, baby.
Rutgers week. We'll have Rutgers fans calling in. We'll have everybody coming in. It'll be awesome. He said that the gap.
Iowa.
Iowa Kirk Ferentz, man, I'll get him to call in. I have a signed hat from him from you, remember? When you met him or whatever. The other tidbit from his interview said that the gap between the Big Ten and the SEC is insurmountable. So even if the ACC comes together with their proposed uneven distribution model, it doesn't fit their needs. Now, I don't know if this is out there. So this could be breaking news that I'm telling you. Supposedly, at one of the ACC-type payout-like thing schedules that they gave, the conference gave the schools, that they withheld money from Florida State that Florida State's going to look to use as part of their way to get out of the conference. I don't want to give sources away because I'll get in trouble. But I will just say that I don't know if Florida State has come out and like said that, but I'm just saying that there might be a path financially for them to kind of countersue the ACC for their grant of rights. A reason they wouldn't do that is because why would they want to piss off ESPN? But if their goal is to get into the Big Ten, ESPN has nothing to do with the Big Ten anymore.
Yeah.
So would that be a way for them to get out today? Because from what I've heard is Florida State was like one of the ones that were primarily affected by the weird payouts withholdings they were doing. And maybe it's part of like the extra Raycom stuff that you keep bringing up. Because like I mean, I check and I see that there are some games that like too many games are blacked out. And I think they're supposed to make up that regional pay. And if Florida State's not getting that, then that's a big red flag that maybe they can get out of their conference contract by saying like, look, we're supposed to be getting paid. You're not getting us paid. We're not paying the payout or whatever. We're going to take our TV rights and go to where we're actually getting paid. And if they're able to do that to the ACC and six other schools are able to follow them, I don't think there's going to be a Pac-12 merger. I think we're going to end up with like three conferences and two of them are going to be named the Big Ten and the Big 12, which is so dumb that like it's mind blowing, Matt. That on Fox, they're going to have the Big Ten and the Big 12. They all have 20 teams in them now, but it doesn't matter.
We'll just call it the Big. Just show a big belly.
But that's the latest that I'm seeing where Florida State, their board of trustees is supposed to come together. They did say from this source, this article, I don't know. I just find this on like whatever it is, either Google or Microsoft. But they said that it's not going to happen tomorrow. They're just talking logistics tomorrow. So I'd assume
it'll be, we'll find out tomorrow.
Well, I'm assuming that I hope, and because I want Florida State to be in the conference, like I said, I think the Big Ten needs to jump on them as much as Nebraska. Even if they're on a downswing, they haven't been relevant. Someone said that they haven't won a conference since Jimbo, and that or their division since Jimbo, and Colorado has won their division in that time. I don't know if that's true. I can't remember. I didn't fact check it. That was one of the Big 12 slappies that were out there selling their conference. Is that they're trying to sell it that they had a bigger get than what the SEC would get with Florida State. But I will say that having that recruiting ground open up and being able to tell recruits that you're the only team in the state, unless Miami comes. But I don't think that's a negative because like the Big Ten's all about rivalries. So if Florida State brings Clemson as their rival, awesome. If they bring Miami as their rival, awesome too, right? Like I don't know what would be better, but I think Miami's already in the AAU, right? Clemson's not in it. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I know Florida State's not in it either. I thought this used to have a map. Oh, it does have a map.
It's just for recency bias, I want Clemson in just so we can kick their teeth in.
I mean, the schools, Miami, South Florida, they're the only two in Florida, of course. Georgia Tech. But like I said, if you're Florida State, you jump to the Big Ten because down the road, if there's only going to be one conference, it's going to be the one that's making the most money. And if you're going to be in California, Chicago, New York, or whatever, like you're the only school, the only conference that's even remotely close to these big major areas. And then you're adding the state of Florida. I've been saying it for years, Matt. Call Texas A&M. Call Texas A&M. Get in the state of Texas with the number two school because the Longhorns, unless the Longhorns in Oklahoma are turncoats, that would be the dream. Is if they could somehow flip Texas and Oklahoma before they actually join the SEC. But if you can't, call A&M and see what's up. Say, hey, you have to be pissed that Texas is coming. Why don't you just come hang out with us? We got schools like Penn State that are like perfect for you. You guys can be rivals together. That's what we need. A school in Texas. That way you're in every major state for recruiting, right? Besides like Louisiana, but that's the last thing I had, because to get in Georgia, you can always add Georgia Tech. If you had Clemson, you're pretty much close enough anyway, right? So that's probably the better option to be down there if they do add Clemson for that reason. That would mean that they're probably not going to add Georgia Tech, which would be funny, but they can get Georgia Tech at any time. I don't think anyone's picking them up. Anything else you want to add? I know we're super long, so I'm going to end it here.
No, that's good. Thanks for the support.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know, or thanks for downloading the show. Let me know if there's anything you want us to talk about, and we will see you next week.